Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
There's nothing worse than thinking about somebody who goes out, does a hard day's work and 40 hours a week, you know, and gets handed just under 11 quid. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of money. Anyway, a rise in the minimum wage to meet the soaring cost of living is being proposed under a new bill. The launch of the Living Wage Bill 2022, the Labour Party leader Ivana Bacik TD said it would deliver a much needed pay rise for workers in Ireland and deliver on the long delayed commitment in the programme for government. She said, with the cost of living soaring and inflation at a 22-year high, Ireland needs a pay rise. The purpose of the new bill is aimed to amend the National Minimum Wage Act to provide a pathway to a living wage over 3 years, and we're calling for an immediate government action to deliver this Labour Party bill. Now, there has been some opposition recently to an increase in the minimum wage from employers' groups, because, of course, they will suggest that if we increase the minimum wage, particularly in those small businesses, which probably 85% of the businesses in Ireland are small businesses, that that is going to affect jobs. In other words, if you have to pay staff more money, well, then you can't afford to employ as many people. That is the argument against it, I suppose. I want to know what you think. And you can text or WhatsApp right now on 087-188-0008. But joining me on the line is Labour Party Senator and Spokesperson for Employment, Maria Sherlock. Good afternoon to you, Maria.
Good afternoon, Niall, and good afternoon to all your listeners.
Now, I mean, look, I think it's a wonderful idea. I think there's nothing worse than thinking about somebody going out and, you know, I couldn't do it. You know, I couldn't go out and work 40 hours a week and be handed 400 quid or whatever it is at the end of the week into your hand. You would feel a little bit hard done by. So it's near time we did this. But, and there always is a but, you know, you've got small employers out there who are, you know, basically every week they're kind of keeping the wolves away from the doors, and they're saying this will cost jobs.
So I think the first thing, Niall, to say is that, you know, if we remember the days back in 2020 and 2021 during the height of the pandemic, you know, I think there was a commitment then, but right across the political system in this country, that we needed to recognise and respect all workers, and in particular low-paid workers. Like, we saw how retail workers, how carers, you know, home care support workers, how, you know, those working in street cleaning, all those had to go out and effectively, you know, put their lives and the health of their families on the line to go out and do their jobs. And I think there was a very real sense then that we needed to ensure that coming out of this pandemic that workers would be treated with dignity and respect in their work and would be
Absolutely.
Paid accordingly.
Yeah.
And so what this bill is about really is making good the commitment, and of course, like I said, what's the promise unless you actually back it up with actions, a government commitment to introducing a living wage. And now they talk about over 5 years' time. But if you talk to any low-income worker in this country, like, you know, so many low-income workers are obviously renting, and we're seeing rent increases of
I don't know how they're doing it. With the greatest respect, Maria, I don't know how they're doing it.
And like, you know, that's before we talk. And obviously, we're all aware of the fuel increases. But, like, you know, we also food increases. There's increases right across the board. And so it's really important that we look at how workers can actually survive here, right? Mm-hmm. And I think for the big issue here is that it's not just about the rate per hour, but also the hours worked in a week. So when we talk about a living wage, I always prefer to talk about a living income, actually.
Absolutely. I mean, there's nothing worse than thinking of somebody who's working, say, in a warehouse or in retail or in a restaurant, because these are primarily the places where you will end up on minimum wage. In the hospitality sector, et cetera, et cetera. They would be primarily the drivers of the minimum wage. And what is it, 10.70 at the moment, is it, for the minimum wage? And then, you know, at the end of your 40-hour week, you're handed just over €400. I mean, really, it's an insult to people who have worked hard all week to and they're not going to have any quality of life whatsoever. Now, I know if they're married and they have children, they may get a family income supplement on top of that. But, I mean, and I see exactly where you're coming from. But what about, maybe the suggestion would be better to go back to what we did back in the 1980s when we had kind of, you know, the national wage agreements whereby people's wages followed the cost of living on a regular basis every year. And we had this agreement that every employer would increase the wages according, you know, to the increase in the cost of living. Would that not be a better way of dealing with this situation?
So I think there's two things there. Firstly, it's important to say that Ireland has a particular issue with low pay. Ireland, one-fifth of all workers in this country are classified as being in low pay. So, you know, we're very high up the list of EU member states with a very high share of low-paid workers. And we need to fix that because, of course, we know that Ireland is, you know, by and large, a well-off country. And how is it that we can have nearly a quarter of all workers on low pay? I think the second thing is, you know, the Liberal Party for some time now has been saying that Ireland, you know, and people in Ireland need a pay rise. And what does that mean? Well, it means both government and employers stepping up to the mark. Employers paying what, you know, what they can. And we know that some employers are doing very well. Some employers continue to trade very profitably during the pandemic, others less so. So we need employers to step up to the mark, but also we need government to look at the cost of living as well. And that is in terms of ensuring that that government directly intervenes to ensure that houses are built as opposed to relying on the private sector. We need to make good the long-standing commitments with regards to free GP care. Like, you know, it's a little bit of a tangent here, but this is related. Like, we called back in 2020 for a right to sick pay for all workers in this country. Going to the doctor at the moment costs about €65. And, you know,
I know, like, people have a toss-up between buying the weekly shop or going to the doctor, shouldn't be the case.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, the current government are saying that unless you have a doctor cert, right, you won't be able to access sick pay.
Yeah.
And the big issue, of course, is that if you're a minimum wage worker, you actually earn less than €65 per day, even if you're working a full day. So there's a real issue there about access to free GP care. And particularly, no family should have to choose between sending their child to a GP or, indeed, as you say, buying food
Are you suggesting, as part of the launch of the Living Wage Bill 2022, are you also suggesting that, you know, other people who might be on, say, 15 or 16 or 17 quid an hour, and they've seen an increase in their cost, because we all live by our means, of course, and they've seen an increase in their cost of 6 to 8%, which is record levels over the last year, which the government are failing miserably in trying to control at the moment, particularly in relation to the energy crisis. Mm. Are you suggesting that everybody should be seeing, you know, a wage increase, or everybody should be, every employer should be encouraged to give a wage increase, but not just encourage, but bring in some sort of legislation? And I come back once again to you and say, and I don't know whether you remember it, I don't, you're probably not as old as me, I'm 58, but whether you remember, I better not ask your age on the air. People get into trouble for asking ages on the air lately.
That's it.
But if you go back to the 1980s, one of my first jobs, I remember it clearly, I was working in a record shop, and I remember looking forward to every year, I think it was called the National Wage Agreement. At the time, and your wages went up, whatever it was, 2%, 3% per year in line with inflation. Why can't we do that? That seems such a logical thing to do. So we don't hit employers with a big increase, say, from, you know, 10.90 up to, say, 13 or 14 quid, say, for minimum wage. It goes up slowly with the cost of living. Why can't we, for everybody, why can't we do that?
Well, I suppose, Niall, what you're talking about there is effectively a national wage agreement, right? And Ireland has had a long history of what we used to call a tripartite agreement under social partnership. And what does that mean? It meant it was employers, trade unions and government coming together to decide, a pay increase for wages increases for all workers. And that successfully, you know, was in Ireland for well over 25 years, but we saw that collapse during the recession, during the financial crash 10 years ago. And I suppose really we haven't got back to those national wage agreements. Obviously there's the public sector wage agreement, but there isn't that wage agreement across the private sector. And certainly, you know, we believe that there does need to be sectoral wage agreements. Like, you know, ultimately, you know, when I look at the lowest paid, you know, there is a real issue with regard, you know, that the government came out a number of years ago and said, yes, we believe that unions and employers should come together in contract cleaning, security, retail, hospitality and a number of other low wage sectors. Now, only two sectors have come together in terms of employers and trade unions, and that's contract cleaning and security, two of the lowest low paid. But in hospitality, employers refuse to come to the table. And I think it's important to say here, within our legislation and within the national minimum wage legislation, which goes back to 2000, there's a very clear provision that if an employer is unable to pay, that they can go to the WRC, prove that they're unable to pay, and then they would be exempted from having to meet the national minimum wage, or in the case of what we're talking about here, would be the new living wage. And so I would defend any employer that if they're not able to pay, that but the thing is they need to be able to prove it. And what we are seeing, though, is that others are complaining about being unable to recruit, but the question has to be asked, what are they willing to pay
I completely agree with you, completely agree with the Labour Party. Absolutely something has to be done, because I think it's an insult to hand somebody €10.70 an hour for a hard day's work or a hard week's work, should I say. But here's the thing, to take the strain out of this for the employer, so they won't keep arguing, which in the Small Firms Association, we're calling this a blunt instrument. Is there a possibility then that to offset this in some way, so the government can kind of step in a little bit and avoid, unnecessary unemployment in relation to it, and hopefully that doesn't happen, but that maybe employers' PRSI contributions of 12% currently at the moment could be reduced somewhat to kind of offset that for the employer to some degree to help them to pay that extra money?
Yeah, and look, I hear those arguments. I think, Niall, when you get into tax cuts or cuts to social insurance, right, it's applied to everybody. So then people who need those cuts and those who less need those cuts get them. I would prefer to see the state putting money into services, public services. And what I mean by, public service is a very broad term. What do I mean by that, right? It's to ensure that families don't have to worry about, the cost of going back to school in September in terms of school books and uniforms, right? School books in particular, right? That they don't have to worry about the cost of going to the GP. And indeed, in terms of public transport, and we very much welcome the 50% reduction in public transport costs that were introduced on Monday. But we believe the state can go further in terms of ensuring that people are greater incentivized towards taking public transport, if of course it's available in their area, and not every area will have,
I know they're screaming at you now on the radio, people in rural Ireland.
Well, listen, I grew up in a very rural area myself, right? And I live in an urban area now, and I have the bike and I have a car outside as well. So I completely get
that'll keep you fit anyway. But look, I need to just get to something very quickly. And I think in relation to that, let's settle that and put that to bed. I think most people would agree in principle with the idea that people shouldn't be earning such little amount of money for a hard week's work. And I think everybody agrees with that. I think most people would agree that we all should be getting a little bit extra. It's probably years, particularly in the private sector, it's been years since people got a rise, and they deserve it. And the cost of living is going up historically. It's incredible how much it's going up at the moment. But I want to get to something else very briefly just before I let you go. And I'm sorry if I catch you on the hop here, but I'm looking at a story in extra.ie. Doctors back calls to ban baby formula ads. And the Irish College of General Practitioners has given their public support to a proposed ban tabled in the Shannon to end online marketing of baby formula. Now, this, of course, Maria, is to encourage breastfeeding. And I couldn't agree more that we need to encourage women to breastfeed. Sadly, there are women who can't breastfeed, or maybe they just don't want to, and that's fine too. But we have a very low rate of breastfeeding. But is it the right thing to do to ban the online marketing for baby formulas when people are using them anyway, and there is a demand there for them too?
Yeah, so I think the first thing to say is that I absolutely defend anybody's right to decide how they want to feed their baby, whether it's to breastfeed or whether it's through infant formula from day one of when a baby is born. But I think I feel very strongly, though, that we need to protect families and pregnant women from what I see as an exploitative and aggressive marketing tactic of targeting women and families with ads on infant formula from even during when they're pregnant. Any of your listeners who are pregnant at the moment, from the minute you Google pregnancy, you'll see
an ad for Cohen eggs.
Flying up. And so the thing is, this is about ensuring that there is a level playing field. We don't, have situations where, other than Panadol, I don't think any other medication in this country is advertised. So this is not bad.
It's not really a medication, is it, Maria? It's a food.
It's a food backed by a lot of science, and this is the claim that it's reliant on how many years of research into breastfeeding. But I think the key issue here is that this is not about preventing anybody from accessing the product. This is about ensuring that we prevent, you know, effectively aggressive marketing tactics that are purely driven by profit.
And do you think? And do you think?
Public health interest.
Okay, Marie.
And I think it's important, Niall, to say.
Yeah, okay,
right,
go on. Go on.
Because people ask me, well, you know, is this going to fix the breastfeeding, the low rates of breastfeeding in this country? Of course not. This is a tiny, tiny part of an overall initiative to how we need to improve breastfeeding rates in this country. The reality is, by the time a baby turns 6 months, only about 15% of babies are being breastfed. And look, you know, that's for a whole variety of reasons. And again, people are absolutely within their rights to decide.
Okay, so your argument is, look, if a mother's going to use formula milk, she'll go and seek it out anyway. She doesn't need advertising, right?
Exactly.
But in saying that, will it really make any difference whatsoever? Because I don't believe, you know, a pregnant mother at, say, 8 months pregnant is looking on the line and she goes and looks at the story. Ironically enough, actually, when I searched for the story, the first thing that came up was baby formula. But ironically, what I'm saying is she's not going to look at an ad and go, oh, I don't think I'll bother breastfeeding after all. There's a great ad for breastfeeding, you know, for milk or whatever it is, for baby food. I don't believe that would happen. I think women would make up their mind either way. I don't think it says here that it undermines their confidence. I don't believe it would undermine their confidence and their ability to successfully breastfeed.
Okay, well, can I give you just as somebody, you know, as I had my first child 8 years ago, and you know, the uncertainty and the lack of confidence in those early days of trying to breastfeed a baby was enormous. And it was only for the support that I had around me that I kept going.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you know, we know that in certain hospitals in this country, that formula is offered when a woman is struggling to try and breastfeed, right? And it's because she's not getting the access to support. So I do think there is, you know, like, anybody with a newborn can relate to this. There's a sense of, oh my God, what am I doing here? But, you know, or what am I going to do with this small thing? You know,
I didn't get a book.
No, you know, and the thing, and even if you've read all the books, still, you know, there is that uncertainty and that lack of confidence. And knowing that the baby will be fed via formula is a very powerful message, right? As opposed to unsure of what's actually coming from a mother's breast. So
okay.
I think the thing is, you know, there has been, you know, extensive research undertaken by both UNICEF and the World Health Organization to demonstrate that that online marketing and indeed broadcast marketing of infant formula does undermine families' confidence in their own abilities to feed their child, and I think we need to be able to push back.
Okay, and by the way, if you're saying the research is there, I don't think it'll do any harm to ban it. I don't think it would do any damage. The only damage it'll do is probably to the companies that make this product, and they won't be very pleased about it. But listen, I don't think very many people care too much about that. Listen, thank you very much, and I appreciate you coming on the air, Marie Sherlock. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Niall.
Okay, well, there you go. I think most people would agree that we all need more money, and Labour Party Senator and Spokesperson for Employment, Marie Sherlock, believes we need more money, and that's why they're launching the Living Wage Bill 2022. Now, that will bring you up to about whatever it is, that just under €13 for minimum wage. But realistically, is that enough? I would suggest that it's probably not. You know, I've changed my view over the years in relation to minimum wage, and I've always been the person that initially said, well, look, if that's the job that you took, that's the job you took, get a different job if you're not happy with the wage. But in saying that, employers are getting away lightly. And I'm sorry, if you're an employer and you're paying somebody, you know, the minimum wage, and they're doing a hard day's work, they're not just somebody sitting on their bottom all day doing nothing, I think you should be ashamed of yourself. I really do believe, particularly if you're making a profit. Right, if you're not making a profit and you're struggling, I get you, maybe. But if you were making a decent profit, like for example, if you're working in a job at the moment and you're on a minimum wage of €10.50 and your employer, let's say it's a small business that employs 6 or 7 people, and your employer is arriving to work in a brand new Mercedes and going on 3 holidays a year, they should be ashamed of themselves. Because I'm not being anti-capitalist at all. I'm very pro-capitalist, by the way. If people are successful in business, they deserve every penny I get, although I question Elon Musk by times and the amount of money he has, whether that's even moral. But in saying that, there's something very unfair about paying people a ridiculously low amount of money. They should be paying you more. I believe £15 should be the minimum wage. So I'm asking you a question. Getting back to the living wage, does 12.80 even go far enough? Should it be raised to €15? Or maybe you're a small business owner and you believe this could actually bankrupt you. that you get out, you couldn't hire enough people on that kind of money. Because it does make a bit of a difference to the overall weekly budget, doesn't it? Because you might have a budget for six staff based on 10.50. If you have to pay 15 quid, well, then you're going to have to drop one of the staff, maybe, if you can't, if you're not making any money. And I get that. And that's why I suggest, Marie, that the revenue could help out by reducing employers' PRSI. The number is 087-188-0008. Do you believe minimum wage? This is my suggestion, not Labour. They're saying 12.80, just under 13 euro. Firstly, by the way, I believe you all deserve a rise. I believe everybody deserves a rise. Most of us haven't got one. Public sector got some rises recently. Most private sector haven't got a rise in the last 10 years. We all deserve a rise. You should all stand up to your employers and walk into them today and say, listen, I want more money. You know, the cost of living has gone up between 6 and 8%. How am I supposed to live on this amount of money? How am I supposed to keep paying my bills? Walk into your employer today and say it to them. If we all did it at the same time, there's nothing they could do about it. Anyway, 15 quid an hour minimum wage. Would you think it's a good idea? Yes. Or no, you think it's a bad idea that, you know, maybe you're an employer and it'll do an awful lot of damage. Let me know what you think. The number's 087-188-0008. The days of working for 10.50 must be gone. They have to be gone. Come on, Irish people, it's time to stand up. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I was doing a podcast yesterday with somebody. And I was talking about what I noticed that was different about Irish people. And I've noticed a huge change in Irish people over the last 4 or 5 years that we don't stand up for our rights anymore. We stopped. COVID put paid to all that. Like this one here. I'm a 47-year-old woman working in a preschool setting. I love what I do. I love the children. But my God, it's hard to work, especially for 10.50 an hour. Absolutely. And the people who are paying you the 10.50 an hour should be ashamed of themselves. But I understand that maybe they're cutting their cloth as well, and maybe the government need to give them better funding and incentives to pay you more money. It's ridiculous that you're being paid 10.50 an hour for doing a hard day's work. Absolutely criminal.
Hi, Niall. The real problem with the minimum wage is not so much your small businesses. It's your massive conglomerates, your big corporates like Tesco's and the supermarkets who put people on minimum wage, and yet their profits go offshore. And of course, they've got access to all the grants and everything else when they're expanding the businesses. So it's the corporate machinery that's keeping the minimum wage as it is at the moment. And as I say, they take their profits offshore. So that's where the problem lies, because the taxpayer ends up paying people the income support supplements just to keep these big businesses going. There you are, that's my two penneth.
Yeah, thanks for your two pennies worth. Let's have another listen to another one.
Niall, the biggest problem we have in this country is that everything is going up. Carbon tax, the whole lot, all our fuel to travel is all gone up. Everything has gone up, but our wages aren't gone up. And for the lower paid staff in retail and in hospitality, they all have bills. They have to do this. So what's going to end up happening is that they can't afford to work any longer, and they will all end up in the dole queue anyway, regardless if the business closes down because they have to increase the wages. It's going to be a vicious circle. Mm-hmm. Something has to give in this country. So whether it's our government step in and subsidise the small businesses to help support the staff, I don't know. But someone's going to have to do something, because everyone is on the breadline at the moment.
I'll just take one more message and then I want to go to Susan as well. Just take one more if we can. Hold on. Let me play this one for you here.
Well, it's all well and good putting up the minimum wage, but it just means that everybody's going to get taxed more. So really, the taxman will be the one that will be benefiting again. I thought it was great after getting a raise, and it seems I lose out on an extra 20 euros because I'm on a higher tax bracket. It's a joke, this country. That's why I can't even do any overtime on a Saturday, because if I do any overtime on a Saturday, it's a waste of time. I spend more money on diesel getting into work. Love the show.
Yeah, I think if you're at that point, now that wouldn't be if you're on minimum wage, but I think if you're on about 14 or 15 and you took a rise, you'd end up into a new tax bracket. I get what you're talking about. You'd end up with less money. Susan, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Susan?
Hi, Niall.
Good. Now, you have a story about your daughter in relation to your daughter. What happened?
Yeah, that's it. My daughter turned 20 this month, and her boss, she's been working since before Christmas. And he has her on the 9 euro, whatever the extra bit is, an hour.
Oh, for the younger person? For the under 18s, yeah.
Well, she was 19 when she started.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was paying her the 9 euro something, whatever the balance is. But he had her training another girl who's a year younger than her, and she's on the 10 euro something an hour.
Well, That doesn't make any sense.
This guy can go away on holidays 2 and 3 times a year. He's not strapped for cash. It's a small business he runs. He's well able to pay his other staff. And she works long hours. And like that, I do think the minimum should be 15, because even the young are struggling with, you know, what they earn an hour and what, you know, for, you know.
But if he's paying her less, like, okay, the minimum wage at the moment is 10.50 for her age, I believe, right?
Yeah.
So if you're under 18, the minimum wage is 9 something, or it's a little bit less, right? And if you're under, I think obviously you have to be 16 to work legally, right?
Yeah.
But if he's paying her less than the minimum wage, that's illegal.
I know, I'm fuming, and she won't let me tackle him on it. She feels that it would make a baby of her, because she wants to be the grown up and she can handle herself, but...
But he's if anybody is paying somebody less than minimum wage, it's illegal and you're exploiting people.
Well, and he has a really good, stable business. It's well known and that, you know, but it's a small business. But, and again, the girl she's training in to do certain jobs that she started doing, she gets more than my daughter
an
hour.
That's ridiculous.
So there's something not right there.
Yeah, well, if it was my daughter... I would probably just recommend she be leaving that business anyway. But in saying that, you know, she likes the job, and you know, or enjoys the job or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's her first job, and she's doing college, and she does this part time as well. So,
and he's living in Dublin.
No, in Bray.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, well, you're not far from Dublin. I mean, there's lots of jobs now at the moment, and I'm saying this with respect to Susan, because I completely agree with everything you're saying. She is being taken advantage of, but I mean, for her age group. There's plenty of part-time jobs out there where she'll get more than that if she shops around. Don't say the type of job it is, because I don't want to identify the job.
It's a career job, if you understand.
Well, I know what you mean. Yeah, she's getting work experience as well. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
but as I say, I do think. I mean, I have another son. He's in his 20s. Like the minimum wage, he's not living at home at the minute, and. Like, it's a struggle for him. Like, another caller said, either he gets some shopping in or does some stuff. And even the idea of going to the doctor when he's not well is a huge stress.
Of course. Well, if you're only on minimum wage and you have to pay 65 quid to go to the doctor, I mean, that's a lot. That's a chunk of your wage is gone, isn't it?
It's €100 if you go to the doctor at night.
Okay.
That's before they ring you and ask you what your symptoms are. And if you're going over, you need to pay them before they see you. It's just, everything's crazy.
And the same if you want to go down to the hospital day and eat, it's another €100 if you want to go down there. Well, listen, I hope your daughter gets sorted out. My advice, I know you're saying it's part of her career, so it's obviously suitable for her to do that. But there might be something else closer by or close by that she could do. But my advice would be to get out of that situation, that the individual that's doing that, that's paying her that money, is exploiting her. And it is illegal to pay people under the minimum wage, if indeed, Susan, that is the case and he's doing that, or she, or whoever it happens to be. All right, thank you, Susan. Let me go to Jay. Jay, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Jay?
Oh, you know, good afternoon.
I'm shocked to hear there's still employers out there exploiting people and doing... Now, and they get away with it, by the way. They do get away with it.
So why are you shocked now? It's been going on forever and a day.
Yeah, I know. I know, I know migrants get taken advantage of course, because...
Yeah, people always take advantage of the week.
Yeah, because they're not registered or whatever. You know, they're getting cash underhand and all that kind of carry on. But, I mean, if you're going through the books, you have to be getting the minimum wage. It's illegal otherwise.
Yeah. But there's no enforcement in this country. We all know that.
Yeah.
All these fellas know somebody who knows somebody who knows a good accountant. Somebody, you know, that's the way they've always worked in this country.
But as I said, Jay, I'm not anti-capitalist, and you know that, but there's nothing worse than seeing, say, somebody who has 7 or 8 people working for them, right? And they're arriving in a Mercedes every day, brand new, and they're going on 3 holidays a year with their lovely family, and their kids are going to private schools.
Get into this industry I'm in, and that's the
running joke. And yet they pay their workers minimum wage.
That's the running joke in this industry. They'll always spin it, hey, there's no money in transport, they're arriving in their brand new Range Rover, and they're with their 6 brand new trucks. There's no money in trucks, but yet they're always buying them. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But you know, they're going to have to do something, because at the end of the week, at the end of the day, if you come to the end of the week, you're looking at your pay packet and you're either down or up and you haven't even started the next week's at work. There's something wrong somewhere. But, I mean, it's only a certain class of us. This middle ground. Anybody on over 75,000, as we all know, gets special tax status in this country. Right? something like 30% or something of what the end you don't have to pay tax on. It's mad. Richard Boy Barrett, I think, was the one who exposed that. It seems to go very quiet, though. The mainstream RT media don't seem to want to publicise that. The social welfare people, they've got used to a life like that. I mean, they're actually on more than I am.
Yeah.
When you think of it. But us in the middle, they don't care.
Well, there's no real encouragement.
We're not rich. It's because we're not rich and we're not poor.
But I mean, there's no real encouragement to work, Jay. You've a litany of children,
yeah,
we've talked about, and you're married, and you've whatever it is, rent or mortgage pay, or whatever it is you're paying. You'd be better off, and we discussed this in the air. We worked it out. You'd be better. I know you're not married, but you should make a decent woman.
I'm getting married this year, I told you.
Okay. But what is it? You would be better. We worked it out in the air. You'd be better off unemployed,
yeah,
financially.
I would be. With all the benefits I'd be entitled to, if you added up everything. And that's, you know, that way.
But that's wrong. That's not the way society should work.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't.
No.
And I won't get anything because I'm just over the threshold of everything. I'm entitled to nothing. So I don't get the medical card. I don't get any of the benefits of anything. I'm just that couple of cents, a euro here and a euro there. And as I've always said, yeah, even at the protest, every time they had a couple of pence on, people say, it's only a couple of pence, it's only a couple of pence, it's only the price of a bottle of milk, it's only the price. Well, guess what? So many bottles of milk add up to a crate of milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pennies add up to pounds. Pounds then add up to notes. You know, but where I was to...
Okay, so we're getting back to the minimum wage. We're kind of off on a tangent a little bit. The minimum wage, do you believe it should be increased? Like, to what? 13 or what Labour Party are suggesting? Well, just under 13.
Somewhere between there and 15. I mean, the German supermarkets have came in and done a great job. They offer...
Yeah, IKEA
the
as well. IKEA do it.
A living wage. So why can't our own homegrown company seem, you know, do it? Is that what our lads there said? There's an awful lot of big companies in this country that don't pay good. You know, and they do ship their profits off. I mean, somewhere between 13 and 15 wouldn't be bad.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we know they've made a lot of profits during the last couple of years. I mean, a lot of people who had money and could work from home didn't get furloughed, were still on their full pay packets and couldn't spend money. But people in manual industries like this and the service industries, a lot of them got their wages slashed.
You know? So, stay there for a second. Stay there for a second. Paul, you're an Ireland's classic kid. How are you doing, Paul?
Not too bad.
Good. Now, Paul, you're on €12 an hour, so it's just above the minimum, slightly above the minimum wage.
Yeah.
Okay. And can I ask what you do for a living? Not where you work, but what you do for a living?
I work in a student accommodation.
All right, okay.
So it's a massive role.
Okay.
I deal with a lot of students, so the workload, the administration is big.
Okay.
Management have been approached a couple of times about giving us a pay rise, but we're met with the answers, like, we don't have it. Now, this company has multiple businesses across Ireland.
Are they state funded, by the way?
Private.
Okay. All right. Okay. It's
So their revenue coming into the company is massive, especially what they charge per room. So this is what we're met with, and then the attitude from managers as well. If you don't like, you know where the door is. So
yeah. Well, that's the sad part about it, isn't it? If you don't like, you can get a job somewhere else.
Well, I've been trying. You know, I'm not successful at the moment, but so I have no choice to stay with this company.
And it must be very disheartening when you do your 40-hour week. Are you doing a 40-hour week? Are you part-time or full-time?
I'm full-time, 40-hour okay, so, week, but yeah. We're on a 5-over-7-day contract. So basically, if I work the weekend, I don't get paid any premiums on a Sunday, and the following week I'm made work a 10-hour shift in 4 days in a row.
If you're working in the public sector there, you'll be getting all sorts of allowances for working at the weekend and antisocial hours and all sorts of things. Anyway, but so you get, doesn't matter what days you work, you get the same amount of money.
Yep.
Okay, so that must be disheartening when you look at your wage packet, on a Friday and your whatever it is, or at the end of the month, and you see that essentially it's €12 an hour, which is roughly, what, 440 quid a week or whatever it is after PRSI and whatever PRSI you have to pay. There wouldn't be too much tax on that, I imagine.
Well, that's what they'll pay, you know, the commute as well to work.
Yeah.
And then that's what they'll pay your bills and then your rent and everything.
I don't know how you're doing it. I don't know how you're surviving.
I don't know how I'm doing it here, you know. But it is shocking, like, the state of this country that, the government are able to raise everything up and not raise the wage. So I think the wages should be brought up to the minimum of 14 to 15 euro an hour.
There's people at home doing nothing who probably have a better lifestyle than you.
50 euro, I look at them every day.
Well, you see, look, that's people's choice as well. And then some people, unfortunately, cannot work due to certain circumstances. I go getting out and going to work in the morning.
Yeah.
But I think we should kind of get a bit more kind of gratitude or giving a bit more gratitude for, you know, especially when you work hard, you know.
Yeah, well, I think 15 is the minimum anybody should get.
I think at my age and my experience, I should be on that by now.
Absolutely.
You know, but employers don't see it that way. They just want their work done and that's it. And it's a very bad attitude, you know. And then there's people in my company that are still under probation. They haven't got a leg to stand on, you know.
Yeah,
I think the law should change around probation periods too in this country. You
but the current probation period, well, it depends on the company, six months. But legally speaking, you don't have a leg to stand on unless you're there a year.
Yeah,
they can get rid of any company can get rid of you within a year if you, because look, you're not entitled to anything.
See, this is what's happening with companies like these accommodations and all. They'll sack you after a year and they'll get someone else in and give them the lower wage. You know, this is why you have the big turnovers and the staff in these types of companies. They don't want to pay the higher wage
because they don't want you to get into a position where you have rights.
Exactly.
Yeah. How long are you there, Paul?
I'm there now. I am 9 months.
Okay.
I'm trying to get move on over there now.
Yeah, well, Paul, I have to be honest. Do you like the job?
I love the role of the job. Okay. I customer service. I enjoy doing. That's what I do.
Yeah,
and
meeting, dealing with people. Yeah,
but yeah. It's become now. It's not appreciated where I am. So no. It's time to move on.
And you know what? You're 100% right, Paul. There's nothing worse than working somewhere where you know you're not appreciated.
No.
You know, because you want to, everybody should be in a position where you enjoy your job. And, well, I say enjoy it. Some jobs are a little bit more difficult than others. I get that. But enjoy your job, but also that you're appreciated. No matter how difficult your job could be, you must be appreciated. If you're not being appreciated, there's no point in being there. Sorry, Jay. Go ahead.
We don't live in that society anymore. People are entitled to everything and people want it now. And people look down on their noses. Nobody wants to work with their hands anymore. Everybody wants to work with computers and earn millions of monies and sit and play pool all day. No, I have to go now. I'm about to load a truck. I'm so sorry about this.
Yeah, to earn your money. Okay, Jay. Yeah.
Have a good day, Paul.
All right, you too, Jay. Paul, I think it's a sad place we've got to in Ireland. I've said it. I've watched it. I'm doing this kind of 25 years, but in this radio station, I was literally here 12 years yesterday. And over the last 12 years talking to people, I have watched slowly but surely Irish people become subservient. And this is not what Irish people do. We were great for getting out there and demanding, you know, our rights. And we've seen a situation where the minimum wage has pretty much remained bad over the last 10 or 15 years. You know what I mean? And it's just appalling. I mean, at this stage, minimum wage should be up around 15 euro. You know, we should all be getting wage increases. Most people in the private sector haven't got a pay rise in over 10 years.
No, and I think it should be down to a person's experience too. You know, I've got 10 plus years experience
absolutely.
Of working in customer service, so I think it should
absolutely.
Be even a little bit more. It's okay for someone coming in as an amateur that's kind of just left school
Paul,
if they get 24K per year.
I have to go into break now in 10 seconds, but I'll tell you what, Paul, today is the day for you, right? So I think you have accepted today that you're underappreciated, and I think what you should do tonight when you go home is look online, write out a million CVs and start sending them out and go somewhere where you're appreciated.
Yeah.
I'm not saying give up.
If anybody's looking for customer service, I'm your man.
If anybody's looking for a good customer service man who has plenty years of experience, he's just looking for a bit more than minimum wage, for God's sake, and he's willing to do the graft. He sounds like a hard-working man. Let us know.
That's it.
All right. Thanks very much, Paul. 087-188-0008. You can contact us here. We'll pass it on to Paul, by the way, if you're looking for somebody good. I mean, the man sounds like he really wants to work hard. He just wants to be appreciated. Richie says, one single full-time salary should be enough to buy a house and raise an average family. A second breadwinner or climbing the corporate ladder should be extra for the family. This should be the price of doing business in this country. If they can't afford to pay the salary, then they can't afford to do the business. Simples. Let me go to Sharon. Good point. Sharon, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Sharon?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Now, I mean, the minimum wage, look, it's upsetting to hear people working hard for that amount of money.
100%. There's a lot of alternatives. I don't know if you want me to discuss any of those.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Take into consideration. For example, the JLC rates, I don't know if they're going around still, where you'd be incentivized a company to have somebody in training, but they'd also get a supplement from social welfare. Now, the odd thing is, I don't know if people know that the waiting in Dublin and Cork, for whatever reason, was much higher than the rest of the country.
Okay.
But if the government were to cap an annual salary, but everybody could still receive their social welfare payment. Then they could go through career progression. The following year, then they'd be off social. What happens now, there's no incentive. If somebody's getting their 208, whatever, a week, if they even work 1 hour a day, that's considered a day, and they lose 5th of their payment.
Okay, well, I have said this for years. We should move to a similar situation in the UK. It's like what they call universal social credits, whereby, you know, the more you earn, the less you get on social welfare.
Yes, 100%. It's easily means tested. I mean, during COVID, for example, a lot of people were worse off because people got mortgage breaks with the... It was being led to believe that they wouldn't pay interest, for example, wouldn't be penalised. A lot of people, like I myself, are paying 120 more a week. I needed to get a mortgage break because I was in hospitality. I was long-term unemployed. And on that was hospitality. Where was the incentive? We couldn't get staff. We had to take on 16 and 17-year-olds, which within the service industry are restricted, for example, with the service of alcohol unless they're supervised.
But what, okay, so just very quickly, Sharon, in relation to the point Richie just made by text, if you can't operate a business and pay people a reasonable wage, and let's be clear, I think we all agree, $10.50 an hour is not a reasonable wage anymore. Not living in Ireland.
No.
Ireland is one, I mean, by 2026, they reckon Ireland could be one of the most expensive countries in the world to live in, right? By the way, at the rate things are, the rate inflation is going. Now, as it is, we're the most, one of the most expensive countries, bar one, to live in Europe. So realistically, $10.50 doesn't cut the, it just doesn't cut the mustard anymore. So if you can't afford to do business or you can't afford to employ people on a reasonable amount of money, let's say 13 to 15 quid somewhere, I don't know, well, then you shouldn't be in business. Is that not a fair assumption?
It is, but then give consideration to the amount of companies that were given tax breaks and incentives outside of the country, non-Irish companies. You know, only for... You know, why aren't they doing that for companies, for smaller to medium businesses? We know the large corporations are looked after. We know a lot of the American companies, and I say American because a lot of the medical device companies, now we have fantastic medical device companies in our own country, but they're doing it for themselves, literally. They're not getting as many tax breaks or tax incentives, or even on the rates. I mean, our rates are chronic. Before you even touch your product or touch your service, rates, insurance, you know yourself, everything, the cost of that alone and your utilities, your
electricity. And I couldn't agree with you more because I had a business going back in 2007 and I remember 2009, they readjusted the whatever it was called, you know, for the rates and it doubled. And I know for most people in and around 2010, in the middle of the recession, they doubled the rates everywhere, which was ridiculous. But Sharon, just one more point because I have 30 seconds. And I mentioned it earlier on, if you see an employer and he's driving or she's driving a brand new Mercedes and going on 4 holidays a year, but paying his small amount of staff $10.50 an hour, I find that despicable.
Yes, but that person built up a business. I mean, I'd be very passionate about a non-class system, so to speak, if we're going to consider it class. But then, isn't that down to the government? Because if somebody's running a company and they're told this is the minimum wage, they're going to pay the minimum wage.
Well, you've got a good point, and I'm sorry I've run out of time, Sharon. I couldn't give you more time. I would like to discuss it more with you. But you are right. It is down to government. And Labour have, the reason we're talking about it is they proposed that they increase it to just under €13. Let me know what you think.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's